Growing up, many of us had that one teacher that we just could not wait to be in class with. That teacher that the other kids told stories about and who we would excitedly wait to have as our very own. For many Loren Park Public School students, that person is grade 5 teacher and librarian Matt Schakowsky, also known as Mr. S. Known for being funny, shaving his beard off for charity, and being an all-around good guy, today, I get to sit down and learn more about what he loves about teaching and how he connects so well with kids. Welcome to Loren Park Living. I am your host, Anuja Pereira. In each episode, I get to help tell the story of someone in the South Mississauga community who is a difference maker, making here such an incredible place to live. Mr. S was well known in my house when my eldest child was in JK, a full 6 years before she was due to have him as a classroom teacher. Despite that, she already knew who he was and she was certain she could not wait to be in his class. On today's episode, I get to talk to one of Loren Park Public School's grade 5 teachers, Matt Schakowsky, to find out more about what he does to positively impact so many kids, and also to find out how he ever became a Habs fan in the first place. Here's our interview. All right, Matt, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Yeah, so you are a staff member at Loren Park Public School, affectionately known as Mr. S. What is it that made you want to become a teacher?
It's, you know, starting with the really deep philosophical questions. You know, I think I didn't originally want to be a teacher. Originally, I didn't know that I wanted to be a teacher. I guess that's probably the best way to say it. You know, growing up, I always wanted to be a lawyer, right? And I was very argumentative as a kid and as I went into university. But I think it was first or second year of university, I just, you know, the thought of, you know, being in an office, being in a, you know, more of a corporate kind of environment was, it wasn't the most appealing. And I had like a moment where, you know, I just had a little bit of a, you know, a freak out, so to speak. And I really thought about what I enjoyed. And growing up, for actually for most of my life, I've always worked with kids as a, you know, as a teen, I did a lot of coaching on hockey teams. I worked at a camp, which I still kind of work at, you know, 30 years later. And working with kids was just something I was very passionate about, and trying to figure out how that kind of lends itself to a career and how that translates into, you know, the real world was something that I always, you know, was thinking about. But what brought me into teaching was, I wasn't the best student growing up. I played the game of school very well. I did well in the subjects that I was interested in, and I got A's in that. And the ones that I wasn't interested in, I did enough to get the B's. Right. I didn't really enjoy it so much, but it was the other opportunities in the school day that kind of lent itself to motivate me, the extracurriculars, the teachers who went out of their ways. And I think that's what led me to teaching, where maybe it's that motivation to kind of pay it forward and to give the kids that I'm teaching now kind of the opportunities that I was given, and to engage and connect with those kids, and which is kind of what brought me to teaching and what I love about it.
I have to tell you, my daughter was in JK at Loren Park last year, and even at 4 years old, I remember her coming home and telling me about Mr. S, the grade 5 teacher. And so clearly, you know, you are impacting students. And so I have to ask, do you think your experience sort of being what sounds like a little bit disengaged at points in your schooling career, how do you think that's impacted what you do in the classroom now?
You know, I think we as a almost like a society kind of have to rethink about what school is, right? And what we really want to get out of the kids what we want to present to the kids, right? And, you know, growing up, it was very much, you know, here's the curriculum, we're going to teach the curriculum, and that's pretty much it, right? But, you know, connecting with the kids on, you know, in so many different ways is really what school's about. And, you know, your daughter's a great example. And, you know, whether it's from kindergarten students who, you know, I see in the hall or I get to pop in the room, it's just about connecting with them and making them, you know, love the school experience, right? And if they can come home every day and they can list off like so many awesome things, then it's really just that's what makes them love school and what gets them engaged and connecting to the other stuff, the curriculum, right?
Yeah, well, you're doing something right, it seems. That's no question. I'm wondering, my experience is more in high school, but for you, what do you see in terms of the elementary school model being different now, besides what you described as like the curriculum being different and the delivery being different? What else do you think are the differences between school now and back when we were in school, or when you were in school? Because I think that was more recent than me by a couple of years at least.
No, I don't think it's that much of a difference, but you know, I think technology is a big thing, right? Like just some of the stuff that, you know, we maybe back in the day when we went to elementary school, we, you know, wrote about in like fiction stories, right? Now we have all this technology at our hands, and that opens up so many doors. And I think that's the other big thing, right? Like we're so connected to the world, and we're more connected to what might have been like abstract concepts, right? We're learning about, you know, First Nations and Indigenous communities, right? And, you know, their dire water situations, right? And in the past, if we learned about that, and we usually didn't even learn about that, but it was such an abstract thing. But with technology, we're able to connect with so much of the world, right? And to really just, you know, explore things that were so far-fetched to begin with.
On along that same lines, how are you feeling being back in the classroom is what I really want to know.
I love it. You know, it's it's night and day. It's the reason why I went into education was for the connections and the relationships that we can develop, which, you know, I think everyone would agree. It's much easier and it's much more impactful to do that face-to-face, right? Technology was great. Our virtual classroom environments was great, but nothing beats having the kids in the building and, you know, having that real time engagement, right? And being able to, I think being able to celebrate those achievements that we have, right?
Absolutely. And I know, I mean, being home, you know, I was teaching online while my daughter was home learning online. And so hearing that transition in the classroom. And one of the things I got to hear as part of that was you running a lot of school-wide initiatives, like reading in the classroom or bringing, you know, Ms. Variano, the principal, in to read. Why do you think those types of things were so important during COVID?
Well, I think, you know, we have to always take stock into what's important regardless of the situation, right? And community building is so important to any school or any organization, right? And how often do we get a chance to bring the whole school together? And whether we're in the school, whether we're online, it shouldn't matter. We should always be looking for those situations and opportunities, right? And whether it's reading a book, I know we did, you know, last year when we were online, we brought in, you know, a friend of mine to do like a boxer size kind of lesson for the whole school, which was great. But just, you know, it's those memories, right? And expanding a school to be more than just the four walls in your classroom. So I think those are, you know, those are the opportunities that we have to keep looking for.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think one of the memories that most Lorne Park Public School students would have is that when they raise enough money for the Terry Fox run, you do something pretty special. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, you know, we're always looking for a fun opportunity that makes teachers kind of look silly. And I know the kids love it. And I know in the past we've done fundraisers like Terry Fox, where, you know, students got a chance to spray paint the staff's hair. So for the last 2 years, you know, my hair got turned hot pink, right? And other opportunities, you know, during the year where I shaved off my beard because for some reason the kids really, really enjoy me doing that. So I know different staff. We had a couple of years ago where Mr. K, myself, and a few other staff members got duct taped to the wall. So it's just those opportunities, right? Like, how do we engage the kids? How do we get them motivated? And if we're not having fun doing these things, right, it's a missed opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you think is special about this community?
You know, I think what I love about the school is it's a small school, and I love the fact that I can go, you know, in the halls and I know every single kid. And but even more than that, like, I know their hobbies, their interests. They tell me all about their extracurriculars, right? You know, they tell me that, you know, their brother at home lost their tooth, right? And it's that close community feel that is just what I love about it. And I've worked at other schools that are like, you know, 600-700 kids, and you don't have that same experience. You don't have that same closeness. And you see a lot of kids in that school, and you know, recognize students by their, you know, by their faces or by their names, but you don't have those opportunities to really delve in deep, right? And whether it's a kindergarten kid all the way to grade five, I have a chance to get to know them. I have a chance to know what really motivates them, what their likes are. And that's just a really awesome part of this school.
And I know there are many well-loved teachers at Lauren Park Public School. There's no question there are many of you, but you are certainly one of them. So is that what draws students to want to be in your class? Is it that you want to have a connection with them? Or do you think there are other things that you bring to the classroom that are unique?
I would hope, you know, that there's a lot of reasons, but, you know, I think a big part of it has to do with the learning experiences that I give them. We really delve deep into the world as a whole, and we kind of mold and meld the curriculum into that aspect. We focus a lot on, you know, social justice causes, which really, you know, make the kids passionate about things. And I still have, you know, kids coming into my class and they're like, yeah, my brother or sister said, you know, we're going to learn about, you know, cleaning the ocean. Are we going to do that? When are we going to do that? And I'm like, yeah, let's put that on the list, right? But, you know, it's those opportunities using technology, which is really an integral part of my program, which the kids like. But it definitely, the creating the connections, developing those relationships with the kids is also a big part of it. The kids need to know that they're, you know, cared for, that they matter. And like you said, we have a great school who does that. And any student who goes into any of the classes, they feel loved for, they feel cared, and they're just welcomed, which I think is a big draw.
Yeah, absolutely. Why do you think it's important for students to know about social justice issues? What about, like, are they just too young to know about some of these things, or why do you think it's important?
I think, you know, I don't know who gave this quote, so I hate giving quotes without knowing who gave them. But so if you know who gave this quote, then just feel free to jump in. But it had to do when someone was talking about racism. And racism, and, you know, what is a young enough age to start discussing racism with kids? And I think the quote goes, and if I misspeak a little bit, I apologize, was that, you know, if a five-year-old is young enough to experience racism, then a five-year-old is old enough to hear about and discuss, right? I think that really spoke to me because, you know, out of care for our kids, we want to protect them and we want to shield them from whatever pain we can. But our kids are going to experience these things regardless, right? So starting at a young age, we can obviously we have to tailor it to the age that we're working with, but we need to make them aware of what's going on in the world. We need to make them aware of what to look for when they come across these situations, right? And I've had parents in a different school who said, you know, why does my kid need to know about racism? They're not racist. And I said, yeah. I said, but your kid needs to be able to know what to look for. And they need to know what's out there and what can happen to other people so that if they do see it, they can, you know, step up and stop it. Same thing with other social justice causes, right? Like the environment, right? You know, teaching kids to become stewards of our world. And it starts at any age, right? We have our kindergarten kids who we take out in previous years to go clean our fields, right? And our parks and, you know, finding out what they're passionate about as far as social justice goes and, you know, helping to nurture that.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I couldn't agree with you more. I think starting young has so much value. And I think, you know, those age appropriate opportunities and those opportunities that we've had, unfortunately, we've had many with so much happening in the world and kids being so astute to hearing about what's going on around them. You know, we've had to have in our home a lot of those conversations and those sort of teachable moments. And so to not have them in the classroom, I think, like you've said a couple of times, they're missed opportunities. And so, you know, having knowledgeable staff to be able to navigate those conversations and help, you know, arm parents and having those conversations because they aren't always easy for all of us, right? So I think that's really, really helpful. I think the other thing that you certainly bring to the classroom is a high energy and a sense of humor. So I am wondering how you maintain that level of energy all day long when you're surrounded by this many kids saying, Mr. S, Mr. S, Mr. S, Mr. S, all day long. What keeps you going? Is it just high levels of caffeine or do you have a secret?
So I won't be honest with you. And this is something that kind of amazes people. I've only drank a quarter of a cup of coffee in my entire life. I don't like the way coffee tastes. And, you know, I stay away from it because like I have friends who drink like 7 cups of coffee, like before 10 o'clock in the morning every day. And I'm like, that's a little intense for me. Even, right. So, I don't know. I think I've always, it's weird. I'm like, I'm a high energy introvert, right? In certain situations, I'm very high energy. In other situations, you know, that introvert side comes in. But when it comes to the kids in school, you know, like I feed off of their energy and I like the showmanship a little bit. You know, I'm not shy in saying that I have a little bit of an ego, right? So I like the attention. But, you know, it's the humor and it's the energy that is another way for the kids to get connected and engaged, right? And if we can't have a laugh, you know, in school, then we're definitely missing something. It's hard, but, like, you know, I maintain that energy. Like, 4 o'clock hits and I'm just like, whew.
There it goes. So, when I asked you to be on the podcast, I did a little bit of research, the best I could do. And one thing that almost made me cancel my invite was when I found out that you are a little bit of a Habs fan, potentially. Am I right in this question?
A little bit, yeah. That's one way of putting it. Someone called me a diehard Habs fan. And yeah, I'm glad it, you know, didn't completely cause you to cancel the interview and the podcast. So I appreciate that. It's really generous.
Yeah. Well, I know our listeners really want to know how you felt about that long playoff run from last year.
You know, I felt really good. Like, I got to tell you, there were so many wonderful things about it. Obviously, if we won the Stanley Cup, it would be, you know, the icing on the cake. But, you know, getting to the Stanley Cup finals, awesome. But the greatest thing about that playoff run was beating the Leafs. I got to be honest with you, if they just beat the Leafs and they didn't win another game afterwards, I would still be, you know, winning the battle, so to speak, right? And the best part about it is we had our kids online, and my, you know, I go back and forth with the students about this. We have a few more Leaf fans at Loren Park than Canadian fans, but especially when the Leafs were up 3-1, like they were giving it to me, you know, left and right. Even when we did whole school things, the students from other classes were giving it to me. I would get emails from students. Oh, hey, Mr. S, did you know that the Leafs are leading the series 2-1? And I got, like, not that I don't want the kids to suffer by any means, but seeing as that series kind of shifted, okay, they were up 3-1, then it was 3-2. And then, like, the kids were making excuses, and then it was 3-3, and they got a lot more worried. And then, you know, when they lost the series, we had class the next day, and I had one student who I'll always remember. He came in, and he was just—it looked like someone passed away, right?
Despondent. The life of a Leafs fan, I think.
And he looked at me, and he said, like, "Is sad?" And he's like, "Mr. S, just please don't say anything today." I told him, I said, you know what, it's gonna get better. And he's like, oh, you think that the Leafs are gonna win next year? I said, no, I said, but they're gonna keep disappointing you, and they're gonna keep letting you down, and it's not gonna hurt as much as it did this time. It's gonna get less and less painful. So yeah. They didn't like that too much either, but it's my job as a teacher, right? To teach them.
There's your teachable moment.
So.
Well, we bleed blue in our household, in the Pereira household. We are dire Leafs fans. So, you know, I will give credit where credit is due, like props to the Canadians. That was a heartbreaker of a series for sure, but not sure that the Habs are giving you quite the playoff run this year that you had last year based on how they're doing so far.
But I don't dislike the Leafs. I just want to put that out there.
Well, that's good. Yeah, well, we don't wish the Habs ill, but one thing that you're allowed to be a lot of things in our house, but one thing you can't be is a Habs fan or a Boston fan. So
Boston, we can agree on.
Oh, there you go. See, we can find connection and something to agree on. That's great. My final question that I ask everyone is, if you were building your dream home and money were no issue, what is one design feature that you would include in that dream home?
So if money was no issue, I would probably put in a home gym. It might encourage me on those days where I'm not really feeling like going for a run or going to the gym. It might motivate me a little bit more to stick with the plan. And, you know, I guess the opposite side is like a home theater. Give me those really like, you know, like those Cineplex VIP seats. They kick out almost like every movie you can fall asleep in. But just give me a room like that. Give me 7 or 8 seats, you know, for family and friends. I think those would be like my 2 go-to rooms. So everything else I'm good with.
Do you think the theater would be too tempting to prevent you from going to the gym on some days?
I'd like to say no, but chances are it probably might get in the way a little bit. But I'd like to think my willpower is strong enough to stick with whatever routines I kind of put in place.
Well, perfect. Well, thank you so much, Matt Schakowsky from Loren Park Public School. Thank you so much for being with us today.
No problem. My pleasure. It was great.
That's it for our interview today. But stick around for a special shout out to this week's Loren Park Local Legends. As always, before we end, we get to do what I like to call Loren Park Local Legends, a chance to thank one or more people for their grassroots work that impacts this community. This week, I'd like to send a shout out to the many volunteers building and maintaining the outdoor rinks each winter. We are all so fortunate to have these outdoor skating opportunities so close to our homes. A special shout out goes to the volunteers at Wood Eden Park, who are also known by some as the Rink Dads, for installing 2 full rinks this year. To all the volunteers spending hours upon hours managing boards and tarps, flooding ice, and maintaining these fantastic outdoor rinks for us to enjoy, we thank you. And thank you to you all for listening and joining us here on the Lorne Park Living Podcast. I am your host, Anuja Pereira. Be sure to subscribe so you can catch us next time when we get to hear the story of another difference maker of this community, making here such an incredible place to live. See you next time.